Caleb Owens, pastor, Russell Creek Baptist Church in Greensburg, Kentucky. And you pray for him this month, and the Lord will help him, calm his nerves, and use him for his glory.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be saved. Appreciate the week that God's given us. Appreciate him taking care of us and all that he's done. I don't normally say a whole lot before I preach, but the Lord's laid something on my heart to tell y'all this morning. I know most of y'all know about my youngins in U of L Hospital. That's why Rachel couldn't come with me this week. And the Lord's taking good care of them, and I'm thankful for it. She's with them this morning. She called me yesterday. The little girl weighs 4 pounds, and I believe it was 9 ounces. And the boy's about 4 pounds and 5 ounces. And I thank the Lord for it. The whole time through her pregnancy, they would do ultrasound, and they would find a bright spot on the little boy's heart. And they told us it was really nothing to worry about as far as they know. It should go away. And when he was born, they called us in there after about, I believe it was about 4 days, 4 or 5 days after he was born. They called us in there and wanted to talk to us. They said, we've done an ultrasound of his heart. So there's a hole in his heart. And it's not a good thing, but they said what it's doing right now is it's pushing blood from his heart into his lungs. Instead, it's supposed to be pushing blood from his lungs through his heart. Said, but actually right now it's a really good thing because his lungs aren't developed very good. Said that his lungs need that extra blood in them. And that's the reason he's breathing so good. And that's the reason he's able to do as well as he's doing. Said that he needs that blood in his heart. They said, but Mr. Owens, if that hole don't close up in the next 24 hours, he'll get too much blood in his lungs. And we'll have to either do surgery or give him medicine to fix that. Said the medicine has some severe side effects and the surgery is always dangerous. And they said, but Mr. and Miss Owens, we need to tell you, after about 4 days, if it hasn't closed, it probably ain't going to unless we do something. And I said, okay, well, what are our options? And they were looking within 24 hours of doing surgery. We got there the next morning. They done an ultrasound and they said, Mr. Owens had it waited any longer to close up. Said he would have started smothering because he'd had too much blood. Said, but it's amazing. He said it was very large and said, this morning it's very small and it's closed up just right. Said, and it's done the opposite effect. It started pushing blood from the lungs through the heart like it's supposed to. Said, your little boy's going to be just fine. Got in the car and I looked at Rachel. I said, honey, now explain to me how that's possible. The doctors couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I said, only God can take blood and make it go the opposite direction to take care of that little boy. And I thank the Lord for it. And they're doing just fine. They set a projected date for them to come home on July the 4th. But they've already started working with Rachel on her release papers and said they could come home the next 2 or 3 weeks. Now, thank the Lord for it. God sure is good to us. I'm thankful for this meeting. Only reason I even came is because they're doing so well. I didn't want to leave them. Rachel said, honey, and I don't mean to be funny, but she got a hold of me and she said, honey, I can't leave them there. That's just too far for me to go. She said, but you need some preaching. She said, you've heard yourself preach enough. She said, you need to go hear somebody else preach. And I said, okay, honey, I'll go for a couple of days. And I'm thankful I got in here. And Brother Jeremy, you got to preach Monday morning. Yeah. Something got to jumping inside of me. And I'm thankful that I got to come. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in my heart this week. And I can go home with the utmost assurance and say that I'm glad that I've been in the house of God this week. And I'm thankful for all that He's done. Brother Ken asked me yesterday if I'd preach this morning. I told him I'd give it my best, but I know that I'm the least among the least. You pray for us. I tossed and turned all night with what the Lord wanted me to preach. I knew before I even came down here what He wanted me to. But I hope y'all don't ever do this. I told the Lord, I said, well, some of these people may have heard me preach this before. I don't want to preach it again if they have. But this is what God's laid on my heart. So you have prayed for me that God would calm my nerves and get everything out of my mind. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter number 37. I will try my best to follow him, and I'll get out of the way so that someone else can preach this morning. And I'm thankful for Solon's Branch and all that you've done. But Ezekiel chapter 37, it's a familiar passage of Scripture.
We all know it. If you want to read with us, I'll begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now you may be seated. Now we all know this passage of Scripture, and God laid this on my heart Saturday when me and my wife decided that I was going to come down here. And she said, you know, Brother Ken's going to want you to preach. And I'm not trying to get sympathy. Please don't misunderstand me. I said, I really hope not, because I need to be preached to. And I'm not really in any shape to preach to anybody. I know I'm the least among the least this morning. But I want to do my best. And I want to do my part. And if I can, for just a few minutes, preach to you what God's laid on my heart. I guess I'll preach to you on some reasons. The wind quit blowing. Hey, I got to thinking about this, and the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and it brought him into this valley of dry bones. And I guess for all my life, I've read this several times, and Brother Pace, I guess to just kind of imagine that he was up on top of a mountain looking over this valley. But the Word of God says that he caused him to pass round about, and the Bible says that he set him in the midst of the valley. So I believe with all my heart, he was walking amongst these bones that were dry, and he looked at them, and Brother Benson, he saw this valley full of dry bones, and the Lord said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I know in my flesh, had I been standing over them, I'd have thought, now Lord, the marrow's out of them, they're very dry, they're as dry as the dust, there's no way that these bones can live. I could spend my lifetime trying to put them together, and there's no way I could put them together. And even if I did, but he done what was right. He said, Lord God, thou knowest only. God, you know if they can. And I've been praying. And I thought this week, I've told Lord, Brother Ronnie Jones got to preach it. I've said, Lord, Brother Mimmy said something to me. He said, Brother Caleb, in the days we're living, he said, you're better off to grow a church than you are anything. And then I think, Brother Wayne, you said it. Maybe somebody told me this week, they said, Brother Caleb, good churches aren't up for grab anymore. It's better just to get one and to grow it and to try to help them. And I thought, Lord, I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, you put me where you put me. And I know that it's the will of God for me to be at that little church, Brother Billy. I know they don't do everything like I like. I get aggravated at them from time to time. But I said, Lord, if you put me in the midst, Brother Craig, of a valley of dry bones, only you know, God, if they can live. And use your man of God to preach to them and to help them and to give them what they need. But there's some things I got to looking at this. I got to thinking, I wonder why all these bones were in the same valley. And I got to reading and I got to thinking. And the only thing I can think of, and I know the Bible teaches that this is a time of Israel and this vision, but I got to thinking the only reason there would be so many bones in a valley is probably, Brother Wayne, there was some kind of battle went on there. Maybe, I don't know. But I got to thinking in my heart, that's why Brother Jeremy, so many churches have lost the power of God because there's envy and stripes in the house of God. And it's a sad day that we're living. I've never seen. And I'll just be honest. I'm not one to preach to preachers. Don't misunderstand me. But this what's on my heart this morning. Hey, Brother Wayne, I've never seen a day where preachers are so jealous of each other. And I thought, why in the world would we do that? I've heard men of God say, I don't want to see my youngins get born again under any preacher but me. And I told the Lord again this morning. I said, Lord, if it's Brother Wayne Henderson, if it's Brother Benson Galloway, if it's Brother Hadley Milby, as long as you get a hold of my youngest and you draw them to an old-fashioned altar and you birth them in, I don't care who's standing behind the pulpit. As long as the power of God's in the house, I want to see them saved. I had some best friends growing up. They were all boys. They was in a preacher's family. We hung around them my whole life. Dad let us go over there. And them boys made me and my brother mean as rattlesnakes. We fought each other all the time. And I loved them to death. And one of them, he had the same name as me, Caleb. We were real close friends. And he started coming to revival. Brother Larry, I believe you was preaching in it. And he came with me every night. And the Lord was really dealing with him. And we'd get home. And he would talk to me at the house. He'd just cry. And he'd say, I need to be saved, but I'm afraid I can't be. And I didn't know how to tell him. I was only about 14. I said, Caleb, if you'll go pray and you'll get a hold of God, He'll save you. We went to school the next day and he looked at his mom. He said, can I please go back to Brother Dale and Miss Christie's house? He said, because I want to go back to revival. And his mama said, my mama told his mom, said, the Lord's dealing with him. And he's cried all through service. And she looked at my mom in the face. I was standing there. And it broke my heart. She said, no, he's got wood to cut at the house. He's not getting saved anywhere but at our church. And as far as I know, Brother Wayne, he still ain't saved it. It kills me, Brother Larry. It breaks my heart. I've seen him the other day and he has long hair and he's just living an awful life. I said, Lord, that could have been me. Hey, my daddy could have said, no, you ain't going over there and hearing Brother Milby preach. Hey, I want to tell y'all something. It was right here on this second row that God began to deal in my heart, Brother Jeremy. Hey, this wasn't my home church, but God used this place. I didn't let the holy power of God move and he showed me I was a sinner on my way to hell. And guess what? He didn't save me here. He didn't save me in my home church. Brother Logan, I told Dad, if I wasn't leaving today, I was going to see if you had church tonight. Y'all are having church in the building that God saved me at. And I said, I want to go back over and see the spot where God birthed me in. It's a little storefront building. But God used that place. And we ought to quit getting jealous over other preachers and just let them preach. Listen, I don't want to sound arrogant or anything, but Brother Jeremy, when I get up and preach, I pray every time, Lord, if you ain't going to use me, don't let me get up. I don't want to make a mess out of things. I want to be able to feel the presence of God, Brother Mayo, when I'm a preaching. I want to be overfilled with Him. I want to be able to shout when I'm preaching, Brother Wayne. I want to be able to run the house if it's God's will. But Brother Jeremy, if you don't let me do it, but I got to see you and some of these other men getting the Holy Ghost this week and getting to preach out of their norm. I'm like, Lord, I love it. And it don't make me jealous at all. But it's sad. I'm seeing, and I'm not, I'm nothing. And I know that. I've had men tell me over the past couple of months, they said, Brother Caleb, it just ain't fair. You get to preach in a lot of places I don't get to preach at. And I told him, I said, I'm not asking to go preach there. My daddy taught me against that, Brother George. You don't ever ask for an appointment to preach. I didn't ask Brother Ken to let me preach this morning. It's just what God told him to do. And if I had it my way, I'd rather hear somebody else, Brother Larry. I told him, I said, hey, don't get jealous of me. I said, some of them places I'd have much rather you went to. And I'm not trying to be funny. But Brother Milby asked me to preach at the camp meeting one time, and it has nothing to do with me. I'm not a very good preacher, Brother Jeremy, and I know that. It's nothing about me, but God laid it on His heart. I had men come to me and say, I can't believe He let you preach a night service, and He ain't never asked me to preach a night service. And for a young preacher, Brother Milby, that broke my heart. I thought, well, it ain't my fault. Go talk to Brother Milby about it. And it's killed me, Brother Jeremy. I've had so many get upset at me over men asking me to preach because they're jealous, because they ain't never got to it. and I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And finally I got on my knees because my heart was broke. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why are they mad at me? What have I done? He said, you ain't done anything. You went and preached my word. You've done what I told you to. Stay the course. I said, okay, Lord, they can get mad at me if they want to, but we are so full of a jealous society. That's a shame. It is a shame, and it breaks my heart to see. But it's not just that. It's my when I started at Russell Creek, they had about 10 or 15 members. They didn't have a piano player. They hadn't had a piano player in over 5 years, and I'm not trying to be mean, but the man leading singing's tone deaf. He don't know how to sing. He can't carry a tune in a bucket. It was awful. Brother Milby, and they asked me, I had never met them people before, but they heard that my family sang and Rachel played the piano. The very first Sunday I come in there, the deacons come to me and said, Mr. Owens, we hear you can sing. I said, I don't know about that. They said, we hear your wife can play the piano. I said, she can. They said, why don't you lead the singing this morning? I thought, well, okay. They wanted me to open up service for Sunday school. I'd do everything that morning. I thought, I ain't pastoring these people. They don't know how to do nothing. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the way I felt. But God put a love in my heart for them that morning, Brother Milby. I led singing for them for over a year. Rachel still plays the piano. Now God's blessed us with another song leader where I can sit down and let him do it. And we've got another piano player just in time for the twins to be born. So now she can play the piano. And when my wife comes back, she goes and hugs Rachel, says, I love you, but you're playing this morning. I don't want to. And I'm not just, she just wants my wife to play. They're not jealous of each other, and I pick on them all the time. I said, hey, if y'all ever get jealous of one another over that piano up yonder, then you need to get right with God, because it don't belong in the house of God. You know, jealousy is one, I believe it's me and Dad have been talking about it this week. Jealousy is as cruel as a grave. Jealousy is one thing that will kill a church probably quicker than anything. Strife and contention in a church. When I was growing up, we heard stories of this church, and I didn't think it was true, but it was true. Brother Jeremy, they needed a new roof. Hell had destroyed their roof, and they had a lot of damage to the shingles, so they wanted to replace the roof, and they had a vote. They had a vote in the church, and I'm not going to get into all that, but they voted 50-50 on what color shingles to put on the roof. One wanted green, and one wanted red. Half a church wanted green, half wanted red. They never could make a decision because of all the fighting and the arguing. So you know what they did? They put green on that side and they put red on that side. If you voted for red, you sat on this side of the church. If you voted for green, you sat on this side of the church. Guess what? That church is nothing more than a hay barn today. That don't belong in the house of God. There's no, we don't need strife. We deal with enough of that outside of these walls. We don't need it in the house of God. There's some things that have caused the wind to quit blowing. Hey, listen, I told the Lord last night, and I hope none of you preachers do this. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach that in the morning. I felt some breeze blowing this week. I said, they're going to think I'm crazy and I don't have any discernment. But then the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, you said it exactly right. You felt the breeze, but we ain't had the wind blowing yet. I believe that. We can get a whole lot deeper than what it's been, brother Wayne. There's a lot of, we need to move ourselves out of the way. Let God work. So there's envyings and strifes. Paul told Corinth several times they had a lot of issues. They had a lot of strife and contention and backbiting one another. But then he went on. He said, son of man, prophesy. This is what I want to focus on for a minute. I'm going to try to get out of the way. He said, prophesy under these bones. And he, so what he told me, Brother Jeremy, is he said, preach to these bones.
Right.
Preach to these bones.
Yeah, right.
Tell them what I have to say. And the Bible says he prophesied as he was commanded. I love how I told my church on Sunday, just every now and then the Lord will pop things out of me. I said, I love how God words things in the Bible. He done it that way for a reason, and when he words them a certain way, he meant it that way. And you can take one word out and it changes the whole meaning of the phrase. But he done as he was commanded. And I told my wife, I was sitting with her and I was reading that at the kitchen table and she was fixing me breakfast before we went to Louisville. And I said, honey, ain't that our problem today? When I announced my calling to preach for the Pace, I know I told you, I talked to you about it. When I was just a little boy, I was running with I was 12 or 13, I was running from a call to preach and I didn't want to do it. I thought nobody's going to listen to a 13-year-old boy preach. Nobody wants to hear me. And I didn't want to preach, Brother Billy. It was not in me at all to want to do that. Brother Pace, we sit at the camp meeting in Kentucky, and Mom and Dad went on to the room, and they asked Brother Pace if we could ride with him back to the motel room. We'd never done that before, brother. And so we got in the car. Me and Josh both sat in that car with him, and he was driving that old Buick you used to drive. We was going down the road. He said, "Boys, I want to tell y'all something." He told us about when he got saved. And then he told us about God called him to preach at 13. Yeah. You know what God done to me? Yeah. God took that crutch and he knocked it out from under me. I thought, great, what excuse am I going to use now? But I thank the Lord. But when I was that age, Brother Pace, I was seeing them all over the place, announcing their calling to preach. And several of them are still preaching. The Bright Boys were here last night. Brother Jason sat here. Brother Timmy sat there. Them are two really good young men. They're good preachers. I love both of them to death. And they're real good friends of mine. They announced their call to preach shortly after I did. And I thought, Lord, I'm thankful they're still standing and trying to preach. But Brother Jerry, nowadays I'm watching them. And they're getting up and saying, God's called me to preach. And 3 and 4 and 5 years later, you can't find them anywhere. They're not preaching. They're not doing what the Lord said to do. And it kills me. Somebody said it this week. What is my generation of preachers going to be like? I'm 24. I'm not very old. I'm not finding very many my age, Brother Jeremy, that's preaching. And I'm nothing, and I know that. And I told Rachel, last night, me and hers had some junk go on. Some people say some stuff about us and try to run us down. And it's broke her heart, and she's got all depressed about it. And I told her last night, I said, honey, if it's done anything, and I don't mean this arrogant and prideful, don't misunderstand me. I said, if it's done anything, it's put a determination in my heart to make me want to stay right, Brother Milby. Make me want to stay in the path and stay in the road. So 10 or 15 years down the road, I can turn around and say, looky there, you didn't know what you was talking about. I stayed with God. I wanted to follow Him, and that's what we're trying to do. But I'm not seeing young preachers in this day and time. They're not doing it, Brother Ray. And I'm not trying to be judgmental. Please don't misunderstand me. But I try my best, because I remember when God called me to preach, the opportunities for me to preach places were very slim, because I'll just be honest, because everybody knew who my daddy was. They didn't want me preaching for him because I was Dale Owens' son. They was afraid I was going to preach just like him. Brother Jeremy, they just didn't want me preaching. I didn't get a whole lot of opportunities. And if I didn't have a degree behind my belt from some Bible college, Brother Wayne, they didn't want to hear me. I wasn't learned enough. Brother Kim, this place is the first place they ever let me preach outside of my home church. And I'm thankful for it, but I just didn't give very many opportunities. So anytime I find a young preacher, if God will lay him on my heart, I want to help him. Brother Jeremy, I want to let him come. And I've let several come, Brother Milby, and they've preached for me 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they've never hit a lick at all. Been preaching, and one got up, and he's preached for me 4 or 5 times, and I thought he hadn't been preaching very long. Come find out he's been preaching 12 years. That's longer than I've been preaching. And and I'm not being mean, don't misunderstand, but some people, and I'm just going to say this, I'm afraid we got a lot of men behind the pulpit, Brother Wayne, that are saying they're called to preach when in reality, God was dealing with them about their soul that they needed to be born to give. And Mama said, "Oh no, son, you're saved. You know you are." And then he goes, "Okay, well, I got to be saved, so God must be dealing with me to preach." I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend nobody, but if I do, I think I'm right. I don't think any man that's drinking beer and cussing every day of the week can be called to preach. I don't believe that. I watched one. He said, "God's dealing with me to preach." He had beer in his refrigerator. He cussed like a sailor. When he announced his calling to preach, Brother Jeremy, the beer left, the cussing left. He's a changed man. I think he got born again. I don't think he announced his calling to preach. He went down and he got an altar, and everybody gathered around him and prayed, and he got up, and he's a new creature now. God don't make you a new creature when He calls you to preach. He makes you a new creature when He saves you. Right. And I know, I've been there dealing with the call to preach. Almost feels like conviction. But I told Dad, I said, "Dad, so many preachers are standing in a pulpit that have never been called to preach. And they can't stand up and do anything." But he told him, he said, "Prophesy to these bones." I believe the prophet was down amongst these bones, and he may have been walking, I don't know. And I'll tell you something. I'm not against education. Please don't misunderstand me. But he didn't take his degrees and lay them down in front of them bones and say, "Now look what I got. You better listen to me. I know what I'm talking about." And he didn't take tracts and start reading them tracts to them. And he didn't say, "Hey, now if you'll just read this prayer or repeat this, then you'll come to life." No, he did what God said. God said, "I'm going to give you breath to live. I'm going to bring you together." And he preached to them what God laid on his heart. When we get away from what the God wants us to preach, Daddy used to always tell me, it used to bother me that I couldn't preach over 10 or 15 minutes when I was preaching, Brother Jeremy. And I'd been preaching 4 or 5 years and I couldn't get over 15 minutes to save my life. And I told Daddy, I said, am I not studied up enough? What's the problem? When God was done with me, I couldn't even think of my name when I was a preacher. And I sometimes would ramble to try to get to about 20 minutes and God wasn't in it. Daddy grabbed me up real tight, Brother Jeremy, and he hugged me up. He said, boy, it's more about the quality than it is the quantity. He said, if you preach what God wants you to, forget about everything else. I say amen to that. We got too many young preachers who think they got to preach for an hour and a half and God ain't within a million miles of them. I'd rather hear one preach 10 or 15 minutes and have a Holy Ghost touch on him than anything. So he prophesied to these bones and he told them, and the Bible says that there was a great shaking. I believe the ground shook underneath the preacher's feet. And he knew that God was about to do something. And he got to watch, Brother Jeremy, as bone came to bone perfectly. They weren't all mangled up. It came bone to bone, skin to skin, sinew to sinew. And they looked great, Brother George. They looked good. They all, I don't know if the Bible don't specify, I don't know if they were standing when they came together. I don't know if they were still laying. But the Bible says they came together. I bet the prophet, and I'm not adding to scripture, I hope you don't miss it, but I wonder if Ezekiel didn't look at one of them and stick his hand out and say, hi, I'm the prophet Ezekiel. But he didn't speak because he had no breath. There was no life in him. None whatsoever, Brother George. And I thought, you know what? A lot of preachers got a lot of so-called preachers, they got that found, they got them looking really good. They look great. I thought about it. They've got that three-piece suit on, and they've got their tie up just right, and they've got their hair fixed just right, and they've got that black Bible tucked underneath their arm, and they look really good. But there ain't no breath in them. It kills me. Hey, listen, I'm just going to tell you, and I can tell them if they's here. Hey, I got some church members at my church that they'll come faithful every Sunday. They'll sit on the same pew, but I've been there 2.5 years. They've never testified. I've never heard their experience. They cuss and they drink. They've never been born again. They look good. They look really good. They know how to dress. They know which parts of the song to cry in. They know which parts of my preaching to drop their head to. They know which parts of my preaching when I get done to come and hug me up and say, preacher, I know you're preaching right. I know I'm not living right and I want to do better. After 2 years of telling me that and they never changed, I got a problem. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not bad-mouthing my people. Please don't misunderstand me. I've just got one or two. It breaks my... I think I asked Brother Milby. I said, Brother Milby, what do I do to reach them? Because I don't want to see him go to hell, Brother Jeremy. But I don't think a man can be born again and be a drunk. I don't think it's possible. I'm just giving you my heart. But I thought, Lord, we've preached to him to where he knows how to look and he knows how to act. But Lord, will you please help me get to that second part of my preaching? Hey, I believe in standards. A man that won't preach to you how to live and how to dress and how to act, he ain't no preacher.
That's right.
And if you ain't got a man of God that'll preach to you straight, then you don't have a man of God.
Right.
I think a young lady asked my dad one time, he preached hard against the family and how they are to do and how husbands and wives are to treat each other and how kids are to act. And I think she came to dad and said, do you hate my family? And he said, what are you talking about? She said, well, you said this and my family does that and you said this and my family does that. Dad pointed at her and he said, girl, I wouldn't have known that until you just told me. He said, and furthermore, he said, if I didn't preach that stuff, that would prove that I hated your family. The fact that I preach it, I love you and I want to help you. We need men that will stand and preach. But then he said, I believe Ezekiel and I'm done. He looked at these bones and they looked good. They were together. But then he said, then he spoke again unto me. And he said, prophesy unto the wind. And he prophesied. And I don't think, and I might be wrong, but I don't think Ezekiel just real nonchalantly said, okay, wind, the Lord said he wants you to blow. Come on and blow through here. I don't think he did that. I think he stood there and I think maybe he was in that valley, Brother Patient. Maybe he's seen a rock or something. And he stood up on it and he said, oh, breath, breathe on these that are slain. Breathe on them. Bring life into them. I would love to see a preacher weep over his people and say, breathe, oh breath, come from the four winds. Come from the north. Come from the south. Come from the west and from the east. And blow on this house. And breathe breath into these that are slain. Listen, I love nothing more than to see a man of God weep over his people. I don't see that anymore, Brother Jeremy. I don't see it, Brother Wayne, and it breaks my heart. And I'm nobody to preach to preachers. I'm the least among the least, but listen to me. We're nearing the end. We're getting really close, Brother Larry. And I'm afraid, I told the Lord the other morning, just everything, and I'm not getting sympathy. I hate saying stuff like this. But the other morning, I was driving down the road, Brother Mike, and all the world's weight was just weighing on me, and things were happening left and right. And my wife was just heartbroken, and she was crying when I left the house, and my heart was broken. I was kind of mad and aggravated. And Brother Wayne, I'll just be honest, some things were said, and some people were lying on me. And I told my wife, I said, I'd as soon choke them as I had to even speak to them. And it just broke my heart, Brother George. And I was driving down the road, and I was talking to the Lord about all my problems. And I looked up, Brother Pace, and I seen the clouds. I said, Lord, sure would be good if you'd just come now. Yeah. Just get us and take us out of here. I'm just getting awful homesick, and I'm sick of all this mess that we're having to deal with. If you come now, all four of my youngest will get to go with me. I ain't got nothing to worry about. And I said, Lord, just come right now. And I was aggravated, and I went down the road a little ways. And then Jordan Morgan came across my mind. Leo Curry came across my mind. Little Leo came across my mind. Zane came across my mind. I said, Lord, if you'd wait just a little bit longer. I want to see them get born again first. I don't want them to die and go to hell. It's nothing about me. Don't misunderstand me. The Lord smote my heart, Brother Jeremy. And I want him to come. Don't misunderstand. But I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. Lord's been working on me about this scripture for a long time. I didn't know if I'd ever preach it, but we need some men that'll stand. It'll say, breathe, old breath on us. Hey, I'm sick and tired. I'll just be honest. We've had some good services at Russell Creek. We've had people testify. I've had people shouting them, and it's been really good every now and then, Brother Milby. God will just show up. But I'm sick and tired of having just a little breeze blow through for about 2 or 3 minutes. I want the wind to blow. I want a shaking to happen in the house of God. We need to see the wind blow. Man of God, when's the last time you wept over your lost people? When's the last time you just planted your feet in the house of God and said, breathe, oh, breath on us. Blow wind on this place. There's some reasons. Men of God have quit preaching. They've quit trying to do what God's told them to do. I've got a friend. And if I told y'all his name, most of y'all here at Sullivan's Branch would know him. He was a good young man. He's about my age. Was preaching. I had him come to Russell Creek and preach for me twice, 2 or 3 times. I loved him to death. He stayed in my house. And he called me one day, and I asked him. I said, hey, I want you to come preach for me. I said, Lord, laid you on my heart. I want you to come on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and preach for me. He said, no, Brother Caleb, I can't do that. I said, why not, brother? I ain't careful I say his name. I said, why not, brother? He said, well, I've got hooked up with a preacher in Tennessee, and he's told me I need to move up there. I need to quit my job and move up there where he's living at. And I need to go to his church, and I need to quit preaching for a while and let him train me and let him fix me to where I can preach how I need to. It broke my heart, Brother Joe. I said, hey, let me ask you, and this was not his pastor, so let me ask you a question. I said, did he call you to preach, or did God call you to preach? I said, you've had a good touch on you when you preach. You know what's right. You've been under the right kind of preaching. And he said, no, I'm going to move up there. I've done got a job. And he said, I'm going to quit preaching for about 2 or 3 years. But I'll call you when I get back to preaching. I said, when you get back to preaching, I ain't going to want you. Because he's going to indoctrinate you, and he's going to get you to believe what he wants you to believe and forget about what God said. And I said, I don't want that in my church. I want a man that's going to preach what God says, whether it hurts my feelings or not. If God says it, I want you to preach it. It's what we need, some men of God that'll preach. Come on.
Thank God. I'll never forget Caleb come in the living room one day and said, Mama, I ain't going to do it. She said, what, son? I said, I ain't going to preach. I've watched you and Daddy struggle all these years and not know where it's going to come from. I ain't going to do it. She said, you don't have to, buddy. She said, but I want to ask you one question. Have we ever gone without food to eat? Have we ever gone and not been able to pay our bills? Have
right.
we ever gone and God has not took care of us?
Right.
And he wrote that scar. And it wasn't long after that he finally gave in.
Yeah.
Thank God. I want to say something. I don't know what's going on these days. Most of these young preachers that say they're called to preach don't have much preach about them. And for some reason or other, after about 5 years, we think they're just supposed to get up and talk and ramble and mumble around.
Go ahead, brother. You're telling
there ain't no preach in them. I'm concerned about the call.
Right. That's right.
God does not call them. He will not equip them.
That's right.
There's a problem somewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
God calls a man, he'll put the anointing on him.
That's right.
I believe that's right.
Right.
I don't tell you, you can preach all you want to without the breeze of blowing, without the wind of blowing, without that, you know, that anointing on you.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to do any good.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to beat the winds on you. Going to
uh-huh.
Eat your gums together. Boy, I thank God. Blow, blow, wind blow.
Yes.
Well, we need that heat in these days.
Uh-huh.
Are we tired of the dry, dead coldness? Of mundane day to day going through the motions. Oh no, we need again the wind to blow in our house, in our church, in our lives. God help us. God help us.